Good morning. Today we have the pleasure of Reverend Jim Ainsworth in the pulpit today. He doesn't really need an introduction. Everybody seems to know him. If you would like a bulletin, you can contact the church office and they can send you a PDF for those that are not with us today, visiting online. I'll blast through the announcements so we can get to the bells. March Children's Activity will be March 6th in the Fellowship Hall following worship. The theme, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Caring for God's World. I guess with the theme being Mr. Rogers. Bible study is not going to meet this Wednesday, but we will meet on March 9th, and we're still in Genesis, many chapters to go. Household Hazardous Waste Collection Day, Saturday, March 5, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Regional Recycling Center on South Park Drive in Lufkin. And key thing to know is no TVs or computer monitors will be accepted. The prayer list is in the bulletin, and I would just add one other thing for the people of the Ukraine going through all kinds of interesting things today and for the last 4 days. And finally, two other things. The Ritual of Friendship, the red books on the pews, if you'd sign that, please, just so you can share your presence here with us. And finally, fellowship will be in the narthex after worship today, so we're restarting that process, thanks to Gladys Swanson. So, that's it. Thank you. Okay, now that everybody's all settled in, if you'd stand and join me in the call to worship. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all nations.
Great and awesome name, he is holy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. If you'd remain standing and turn to the hymnal number 12, Immortal, Invisible. Seated. Join me in the call to confession. First, the prayer of confession in unison, then in silence. Eternal and ever-blessed God, whose name is love, put your own love into our hearts and help us to love you as you have first loved us. Help us to love you so much that we may fear nothing except to grieve you, and that we may desire nothing except to please you. Help us to love you so much that we may obey you, not as a slave obeys his master, not even as a soldier obeys her commander, but as a loved one obeys the one they love. Help us to love others so much that all may know that we are your disciples, because we have love for one another. All this we ask for your love's sake, and in Jesus' name. Amen.
God wants to love us fully every day. God begins today by emptying out our sins and filling up our souls with God's love. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son.
the peace of Christ be with you all. And you may express the peace to each other.
Join me in the prayer of illumination and the reading of the first lesson. May the Holy Spirit activate our ears so our hearts can understand. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'll be reading today from Exodus 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. And Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Holy words. Amen.
And all the children who are going to play and those will just stay up here. How about you sit right over on this side so we don't get in the way of the over on this side. Good morning. I have here a picture. This is the front of a calendar. But what I want you to see is what's at the top. What is that? What does it look like? A mountain. Tall, isn't it? Does it have snow on it? Probably. How many of you have you ever been up a mountain, on top of a mountain? You have? Okay, what's it like? Was there snow up there? Yes, so it was cold, right? Yeah. Did you see anybody who lived up on top of the mountain? No. Our scripture today, the one that Mr. McCracken read, was about Moses who went on a mountain, and there he met God. But he didn't stay on the mountain. He came down, and he brought something to the people. He brought the word of God to them. And our other scripture that I'm going to read in a few minutes after you play is about Jesus going up on a mountain. Maybe it was a mountain like this. And he went up with his disciples, and he changed form. There's a big word we use called transfiguration. That's a hard word. It just means that Jesus didn't look like he did before. All of a sudden, he looked very different. But Jesus didn't stay up on the mountain. He came down to where the people were. And where do you think the people in this picture live? On the ground. That's right. And that's where we live too, isn't it? We don't live on the mountains. We live on the ground. And there's where we meet Jesus, because he came down from the mountain to live among us and to fulfill his promises for us. And that's our story for today. How about we say a prayer? I'll say a word or two, and you say it after me. Thank you, Jesus, for going up on the mountain and showing us who you are. And thank you, Jesus, for coming down from the mountain to be with us always. Amen. Okay.
You can't get to heaven on roller skates. You'll roll right past those pearly gates. Oh, you can't get to heaven.
Thank you, music makers, and thank you, Miss Debbie. If you brought your Bibles with you, or if there are Bibles in the pew and you choose to read with me, I invite you to read from the Gospel of Luke. Our text today is from the 9th chapter of Luke, beginning at verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus took Peter and John and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. There's a parenthesis. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This incident we call the Transfiguration has always fascinated me. It intrigues me not because of what happened on the mountaintop, but because of what happened afterwards. It's actually a mystery. And I confess to you this morning, I don't understand all of what it means. Was Jesus in some kind of hypnotic trance? Is it an allegory in which Jesus is presented in a certain way, and Moses and Elijah, representing the law and prophets, stand with him? It's a mystery. It's one that in our Christian faith and in the doctrine, in the writings of our church, we still don't fully understand. But I'm fascinated by the reaction of the disciples. It was for them a real mountaintop experience, a peak of their spiritual formation and experiences. This was as high as it gets spiritually. And for them, it was the beginning of their ministry with Jesus. First, the disciples try to make this experience a permanent experience. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how good it is that we're here. If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles or tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Good old Peter. Always practical. "Let's build a church on this mountain, Lord. Rather, not one, but three churches. We'll make it our headquarters. We'll come up here for camp experiences. This is going to be the center of Christianity." It's interesting that Jesus did not even respond. Mountaintop experiences are once in a lifetime, maybe twice, experiences in which we are lifted up into the presence of Christ. Doesn't happen often. Doesn't happen every day. And it's not on the mountains where we live. When I was younger and healthier, I loved going to Colorado in the summer. We have a friend there who is a retired forest ranger and who knew all the back trails to go and all the out-of-the-way mountains to climb, and we climbed them. It was wonderful. It's one of the best parts of my life. But I can't even go there anymore, much less live there. Each of us has had in our own spiritual life some moment when we were in the presence of God in such a real way that it was like being on the mountaintop with Jesus. Some moment, it might have been in church, it might have been on the mountain, it might have been by the lake, it might have been in your home, in your own prayer time. But each of us has the experience of the mountaintop. But it doesn't, that's not where we live. Now, some people do want to try to make it a living, everyday experience. To make worship a time when we come and shout and scream, and it's a big experience, and we can hardly wait till we get back again and do it again. But Presbyterians don't worship that way. But Presbyterians do find our moments of spiritual high, and we claim those. We claim them as a gift from God. I was reminded of this story about Billy Graham, who was returning to Charleston after a speaking engagement. When his plane arrived, there was a limousine there to transport him to his home, which was, by the way, at Montreat. As he prepared to get into the limo, he stopped and spoke to the driver, and he said, "You know, I'm 87 years old, and I've never driven a limousine. Would you mind if I drove for a while?" The driver said, "No problem. Have at it." Billy got into the driver's seat, and they headed off down the highway. A short distance away sat a rookie state trooper operating his first speed trap. The long black limo went by him doing 70 in a 65-mile-per-hour zone. The trooper pulled out and easily caught the limo, and he got out of his patrol car to begin the procedure. The young trooper walked up to the driver's door. When the glass was rolled down, he was surprised to see who was driving. He immediately excused himself and went back to his car and called his supervisor. And he told the supervisor, "I know we're supposed to enforce the law for everybody, but I also know that there are important people who are given certain courtesies. I need to know what I should do because I have stopped a very important person." The supervisor asked, "Is it the governor?" The young trooper said, "No, more important than that." "Is it the president?" The young trooper said, "No, he's even more important than that." The supervisor finally asked, "Well, then, who is it?" The young trooper said, "I think it's Jesus, because he's got Billy Graham for a chauffeur." Well, that was probably the highlight of that young trooper's life that day. And it might have been the highlight of Billy Graham's. We all have those highlights of our spiritual life. But where we live is every day. The day where the rubber hits the road, where life is lived with all its realities of illness and disease. Oh, joyful birthdays, but sad goodbyes. And that's where God comes to us, in the everyday. That's where Jesus sent the disciples. He didn't tell them, "Get all fired up now and go down and knock on door and have revivals and stir up the people." He said, "Go back to the earth, and I'm going with you. Down in the valleys where people live, and we will touch their lives. We will heal them. We will show them how forgiveness comes from God. We will show them what it means to love each other." And that's what Jesus tells us today. We have our experiences on the mountains. We have our spiritual highs. But we live in the valley with the promise of God that He is with us. I don't know what this transfiguration really means. I know that God was showing the disciples and us that Jesus was God. But the thing I do know is that Jesus didn't stay on the mountain. He went with the disciples back down to the valley. And there they lived their spiritual experiences with the presence of this one who appeared to them as God. So today I invite you to look up from your routine experiences, to think about the spiritual moments in your life where you experience God in this rich mountaintop way. Maybe it's happened once. Maybe it's happened twice or even more. Maybe it hasn't happened at all. But when it does, and if it does, it's a moment to cherish, to hold on to, as the disciples held on to this experience with Jesus. And then they go back to live their lives in the glow of that experience. It's in the valley that we know the promise that this one who is transfigured fulfills our hopes that he is with us always to the end of the earth. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the words from the Confession of 67 that are printed in your bulletin. God's sovereign love is a mystery beyond the reach of human mind. Human thought ascribes to God superlatives of power, wisdom, and goodness. But God reveals divine love in Jesus Christ by showing power in the form of a servant, wisdom in the folly of the cross, and goodness in receiving sinful men and women. The power of God's love in Christ to transform the world discloses that the Redeemer is the Lord and Creator, who made all things to serve the purpose of God's love. Let us remain standing as we sing hymn number 451.
In my hands, though.
seated. We love because he first loved us. We give because God first gave to us. Let us present our gifts. Your great gift to us in Jesus Christ astounds us, moves us. He invites us on the mountain to see who he is, and then to come down and live our lives as if he is who he is. Receive these gifts as you receive us, and bless us with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In your bulletin, you have a prayer list. I invite you to take that home and make those names part of your daily prayers. As Elder McCracken has reminded us, we also include every day in our prayers the people of Ukraine as we think of them and watch them in this crisis in their country. Let us bring our prayers and our concerns to God as we pray. O Lord, we stand before the mystery of the Transfiguration. We worship God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as one, both human and divine, changing before our eyes, and yet always the same. Life itself is often a mystery, like a maze with no way out. But we follow you, Lord, day after day, and we know that you will lead us in the turns and twists to home and to safety. Today, Lord, we stand before the mystery of the world, before the mystery of war in Ukraine. And mighty nations, chest to chest. How can there be peace? How can there be accommodation? We don't know. It's a mystery. But we pray that you will lead us through this maze. We pray for your leadership and your wisdom, for President Biden and his advisors, for President Zelensky of Ukraine, and as you have taught us to pray for our enemies, we pray for President Putin of Russia. Closer to home, we pray for those who suffer because of cancer or stroke or grief or other pains. We pray for each one of those on the prayer list and for those we carry on the prayer list in our hearts. Relieve suffering. Give courage to those who face medical procedures. Comfort the grieving. Guide those who are floundering. Bless this church. Bless Pastor Gordon. And bless the children. We ask it as we pray in the manner Jesus taught us, and we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us end our worship going out to praise God, singing hymn number 468. People of God, go forth into the world knowing that God's Holy Spirit goes with you. And may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and abide with you today and always. Amen.